Hello and welcome to Back to a Cover. I'm Ross Bolin and I'm here with Dan Register.
What's up, Billy?
And Dylan Shiver.
Hello, Billy.
Hello, guys. We're going to talk about sports. We're going to talk about crazy off-the-court NBA action. What else are we going to talk about?
We got a lot. A lot on the docket.
There is a lot on the docket.
I think we have the least to talk about for baseball, and that's the only thing that's actually going on right now, which is kind of weird.
Also kind of nice.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We got to ease into baseball season.
Yeah, slowly. Like when there's like 110 games down the hatch, then we really get into it.
The regular season is just a...
It's a grind.
It's a gauntlet.
Yeah.
It's a grind. But before we get into all that, go to Rowdy Gentleman at rowdygentleman.com, where we are running a sale with items up to 20% off. If you use our promo code BACKDOOR, one word, at checkout, you get an additional 10% off, which adds up to 30% off.
Yes.
Which is almost a third.
The math checks out.
It's almost a third. If you order this week, you can still get all of your items in time for the 4th of July, which is important because you need good stuff for the 4th of July. We got swimsuits, t-shirts, patriotic gear, tank tops, hats, everything you need to represent America and look good on the 4th. Use the code BACKDOOR at checkout. Get an additional 10% off your order. All right. Let's move into the NBA. So we talked about the... Did you just dab? We talked about the what would happen with the NBA after the Warriors kind of destroyed everyone this year. And
league's ruined.
Said it would be interesting to see how these other teams would react. Well, it turns out
they're reacting.
The reaction is just going to be like chaos, which
I love.
Is awesome. All these GMs are like, "Well, fuck it, I can't win a championship with these guys. Got to try something.
Blow it up."
Just firing off trades, and Magic Johnson's actually doing stuff in L.A., which is crazy. I didn't think he'd be any good at that job. Seems that he is. Or just other people are so bad at their jobs that he looks good, like everyone in Brooklyn. But
that's the biggest talking point in all of basketball right now, is people going after Magic for letting Timothy Mozgov off.
Yeah.
Let him go.
It's a huge loss.
Huge loss.
It's a big L. The draft is Thursday, so in...
Tomorrow.
And in preparation for that, teams are moving all kinds of shit to try to get different picks, different spots.
Okay, let's...
Opening up...
We get to it? My Philadelphia 76ers?
Sure.
Making moves. Number one overall pick. Not too bad of a price tag that we gave up.
What'd you give up?
To move up. We swap picks, one for three, and either next year's Lakers pick if it falls between 2 and 5. We keep it if it's
this
the first
with
overall
Boston
pick.
Boston that you traded?
Yeah, with Danny Ainge.
Yeah.
If the Lakers pick next year is the number one overall pick, we keep it, and then they get Sacramento's pick in 2019, unless that is also the number one overall pick. So theoretically, we could still have three straight years of number one overall picks.
I'm not following any of that.
Is it even about basketball anymore in Philly, or is it just about seeing what kind of draft picks you can get?
Well, it's actually all about basketball now. Danny Ainge and the Celtics have taken over our pick, like the farming of picks.
They get all
the cultivating of picks that has been transferred over to the Celtics because they now have like the most assets like ever.
Uh-huh.
Danny Ainge is just obsessed with picks, and now the Sixers are starting to make moves. We got our core guy to be part of our new big three. We got Markel. We're going to draft him tomorrow night. He's going to join Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. It's going to be the future of the NBA. It's going to be great.
So many first-round draft picks on that squad.
Markel, what's his last name?
Markel Fultz.
Is he that fucking good?
Yes, he is. He is.
They got to stop playing that ESPN Sports Science segment on him. It's really not impressive.
He's a 19-year-old James Harden. So
What's the sports science say?
You know the
sports. Yeah. But what's it say?
It was really dumb. They brought out...
Does he have like a crazy wingspan?
They brought out like some like...
He does. He's 6'4", but he's got a 6'9
brought
wingspan.
Brought out a dodgeball team.
Okay.
And they gave him a basketball, and he was at the top of the key, and he was just driving to the lane while they were throwing balls at him, and he would dodge one, and then he would do a spin move around another one and jump. It was just the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
ESPN, running out of shit.
He did. I don't know.
Everyone agrees, though, he is a great, great talent.
Not everyone.
Can't miss. No, the only people that disagree are people who lead with their columns that say, I've never actually watched a Markelle Fultz game. Or
saw,
never seen him
saw
play.
A few of those yesterday.
Have you watched him play?
At Washington, yeah.
You watched a game?
Pac-12, yeah. I watch college basketball every
so
now
Dan
and then.
So Dan knows that Washington's in the Pac-12.
Look, good. His college team wasn't very good, so not very many people did watch him.
And they're on at like 2 a.m.
They didn't win. He didn't win in college. Like, how could he be good? First of all, nobody knows anything about any of these NBA draft picks, ever.
That's not true.
How many first number one picks end up just, you're just like, they're just some dude down the road?
Not that many. Like, number one overall picks usually deliver. Like, the only people that don't deliver are like Anthony Bennett.
I feel like basketball is like one of the easier
right
games to project from college to pro. I would think so.
I mean, yeah, maybe compared to like all the other sports.
It's way
what,
easier.
What else would you compare it to?
I don't know.
Hey, but Bill, by the way, your shoes?
Yeah.
I fucking love them.
Oh, thanks, man.
It's about time he has some good-looking shoes up in this shit.
They're Asics.
They are Asics. What's the model?
I'm not sure. I'll have to get back to you on that.
Those are dope, man.
Just type in grandpa.
Yeah, they're grandpa-ish.
And then they pop up.
Here, let's go through the list of first overall picks in the NBA draft.
Number one picks.
Yes.
Okay, sure.
For life.
LeBron turned out all right.
Last year, Ben Simmons, we don't know because, you know, he hasn't played yet, but he's going to be a generational
probably
type
trash.
Talent. No.
Karl Anthony Towns, very, very good. Probably a top five player of all time.
Yep.
Andrew Wiggins.
Great.
Eh.
No, I mean, he's averaging like 20 points a game now, at least.
Anthony Bennett, don't radar. Know who that is. Anthony Davis.
You don't know Anthony Bennett?
Great.
The fuck is
Kyrie
Anthony
Irving,
Bennett?
Great. John Wall, great. Yeah, okay. Blake Griffin,
Derrick Rose, Greg Oden. Didn't work out.
Well, okay, see, this is where it gets shady. You had a good few year stretch here. Greg Oden, Bargnani, Bogut, Dwight Howard. Wait, what?
LeBron James.
Are we already back far enough to get to Dwight Howard?
He was a year after LeBron, man.
Then
Yao Ming before LeBron.
Jesus.
They usually typically work out unless you're a giant.
I don't know why
big.
You're Micah zoomed in like we're fucking 96 years old and can't read. Okay, so Dwight Howard got drafted in 2004? Man, I thought that was like 98. Anyway, he got traded yesterday, speaking of Dwight Howard. And he was on Twitter. He had just initiated in a Q&A about draft night and trade situations with the Atlanta Hawks fan base. And within 5 minutes of starting this Q&A, he was traded.
For a couple big white dudes.
And he was traded for a Plumlee, which is like one of the worst things that can happen to you, not just as a basketball player, but as a human being.
Yeah.
And Bellinelli.
Marco Bellinelli. And then they actually swapped second-round picks. They had to give up a better second-round pick to get rid of Dwight Howard.
And now he's on the Charlotte, whatever they are
Hornets.
At this point. Which, Bobcats.
No, the Hornets. They went back to being the Hornets.
They did?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There are no Bobcats anymore?
There are no Bobcats.
Okay. What? Obvious takeaway here is that Dwight Howard, probably one of the least competitive people walking the face of the earth, is going to be under Michael Jordan's
reign. He's going to fit well
under
Jordan.
Let's call it what he is. He's a pussy. He's a giant pussy.
Okay, he is a pussy.
He's like a million-dollar body, but he's just a pussy.
Top 10 center of all time.
You couldn't construct, like in a lab, a better-looking basketball player than Dwight Howard.
One of the...
Future Hall of Famer.
Fastest, like, career dumps ever this guy pulled off.
I don't get it.
He went from being a terrifying force in Orlando...
Lovable.
...to just never really... I mean, even when he has a really good game, like this guy was in Houston for a few years, so I got a very good look at current modern day Dwight Howard. Even when he has a really good game, and I'm talking like 20 rebounds, you don't really notice. And you just see his stats at the end of the game. You're like, oh shit, Dwight had a really good game. But did he really?
How are you not just throwing guys around when you look like that and you're that athletic?
Okay,
he is an athletic freak.
He never learned how to play. Basically basketball.
He's 6'11 and won a dunk contest. Like, that's how athletic this guy is.
Nate Robinson won a dunk contest. He's like 4'6". Dwight he's just kind of a dumbass too. He's a dumbass and he's a pussy. He never learned how to move around in the post without just committing 15 offensive fouls per possession. Like he's just not very good.
Former defensive player of the year. He is very good.
I don't think he wants to be good. He doesn't have that gene in him.
He is and very everybody good. Says remember that when he's a lock for the Hall of Fame.
He is.
Which is look which at his look at his seems resume. Seems like a stretch.
Look at his resume. He single-handedly
What's
carried
his resume?
He single-handedly carried the Orlando Magic to the finals where their second best player was Jameer Nelson.
And they lost.
Yeah, but they got there. Solely on Dwight Howard.
Micah,
if you look
say?
At all of his NBA All-Star teams, all of his All-NBA teams, he's a lock for the
Are you a big Dwight Howard guy, Dan?
I like Dwight Howard, yeah.
Big Dwight fan?
Not so much anymore, but like, let's not shit and say he's a bad player. He's a top.
No. Right top, now?
Right now?
He's not very good.
Right now, he is not good.
He's
Bill,
lost.
I
Change
just
of scenery
get,
doesn't
I wanted
well.
To get your take on the reports that Dwight Howard is spending the entire summer shooting three-pointers. So he can be a three-point
okay,
shooter.
Okay, that's obviously Jesus. Part of the reason. That first of all, he's had four teams in like 6 years. He was in Atlanta, which is where he's from. So he was like all pumped to be home. He did an interview on the radio earlier in the day yesterday saying that the most important thing to him was bringing a championship to Atlanta, which is just something he says everywhere he goes, whatever city, whatever team he's in. He gets traded later in the day, and part of the reason is almost definitely because he repeatedly talked about how he was going to work on his three-point shooting this offseason. His three-point shooting. Yeah. He can't even make a fucking free throw. He's just unbelievable. Like, you know how every once in a while you meet a human who just has zero self-awareness, and you just it's impossible to connect with
That's
that person?
Dwight.
That's this guy. He doesn't have any fucking idea what he's talking
Gotta
about.
Got to add another dimension to your game.
He's just an unbelievable dumbass.
He's not even great in the post.
No, he's not. He's not close to great.
Maybe refine your skills down low.
He's pretty good in the post.
He's not.
Dan, he's not. I don't know where you're getting this ridiculous take.
Look at his stats.
He's not an offensive force.
He's not a defensive force.
Good enough.
He's not a force.
He was.
He's a force.
He kind of is.
He's like a number one.
You're really underselling him.
Number one Minions fan in the NBA. That's what he is. The man is a child. He's like a Michael Jackson of basketball.
Oh,
never had a childhood. So he's stuck in child mode. Also, I just like
this
to say I really
weird.
Do love Dwight. I think he's awesome. He's just misunderstood.
He's just not that good.
And he's not very good at basketball. But I do think that in general he gets a bad rap as I shit all over him and his game. Anyway, he got traded for a Plumlee. The Lakers traded D'Angelo Russell, who was widely believed to be the future of the franchise, and Mozgov to Brooklyn.
Locker room rat.
For Brook Lopez and the 27th pick in the draft.
Uh-huh.
This is being lauded as a spectacular move by the Lakers, which is funny because they're basically just undoing a terrible mistake that they made.
The giant
what
deal
was the
they
mistake?
Gave, the giant
they
deal
paid
they gave Mozgov
an insane amount of money.
I don't know who the fuck Mozgov is.
And he's just barely better than Dwight Howard.
He's a giant white dude.
I'm just kidding. He's not better than Dwight Howard. But he's very, very bad. It's an interesting move because it opens up. I mean, they're going to draft Ball
right.
is the takeaway
right.
here. Like almost certainly now.
And they're making a free agency move. They're going after
Paul George.
Blank.
They opened up a fuckload of
cap space
in 2018. Sure, you could look at it as maybe it's Paul George this year.
People are talking Paul George.
People are
and
talking LeBron.
LeBron.
I heard LeBron
next,
as well.
Next year
both.
Or this year. Or both, yeah. It's chaos right now because everybody's just trying to figure out where's the next super team going to be. And like LA is the first obvious answer. But it just, I can't see. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where any of these dudes are going to end up because I can't see the future. But there are a lot of people being shopped right now.
Porzingis.
Paul George, DeAndre Jordan, CP3, Jimmy Butler. Porzingis allegedly? New York is just a dumpster fire.
You know, the face of the franchise.
I don't understand.
Still in his rookie deal.
I'm yet to find an NBA writer on the internet who has any like semblance of an idea of what Phil Jackson is attempting to accomplish at all.
Is he trying to get fired?
It's kind of what it seems like at this point. Or like he's still being paid by LA maybe to make New York suck. Like, how could you... Even if he wasn't shopping Porzingis,
he's a
and it was just a bad story that came out...
He's a sleeper agent for like another team.
He should be out in front of this thing. Like, you go find the first camera you can find and scream at the top of your lungs that you're not looking to trade your franchise center. But he has
like a 7'3" Latvian unicorn.
Yeah, I just maybe Phil only
has handles, can shoot.
He's anti-white, perhaps. but yeah, there's. I mean, one thing is for sure: it is going to be an interesting offseason in the NBA, which is nice. I mean, we get something after that year of.
I think a lot is going to go down tomorrow.
Probably.
I was going to ask, what's the timeline on this? When are dominoes going to start falling?
I think they're going to continue to fall today and tomorrow. Then the draft will happen. Then I think
the draft is tomorrow night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think probably George gets shopped the next 2 days. Paul George.
Gets moved?
Gets moved.
Yeah. We shall see. But, Patrick Beverley being shopped?
Oh, you don't like that?
Huge superstar there.
You don't like that, Billy.
It's heartbreaking.
That's
for
your
me.
Boy.
Yeah, it sucks. It's like one of those shitty situations where I totally get why, but I don't. I will miss him.
That's gonna be the most.
He
could
play
move.
On my team any day.
Yeah, no,
this guy's a spark, man.
He's fantastic. I love him. Moving on to golf. Big news in the golf world yesterday. As Phil and Bones, his caddy, Phil Mickelson and Bones, split after 25 years together. And it seems amicable. So I don't really get it. Like, what is the full story here?
Apparently, Phil is his schedule. He's going to start playing less and less golf.
And Bones needs
to be
like,
a family guy. Or
yeah.
He's just getting older. I don't know.
He skipped the fucking U.S. Open to go to that high school graduation. So
this is what Micah... I don't even know the story. This is what Micah tells me, by the way. And he has apparently about 10 more years left, speaking about Bones, to caddy.
And then he can't walk anymore?
He wants to stack paper, I think.
What do you...
You can't caddy until...
Bones is not that old.
How old is Bones? He's mid-40s, probably.
Bones probably Phil's age.
He's been caddying for 25 roughly. Years for Phil. He's not young.
But you can't.
What are your favorite caddy names, though?
By the way, I was going to say, how do you get a nickname like Bones anyway?
You have to be a
what
caddy.
Kind of money? His name is Jim McKay.
Doesn't make any sense.
So it's much better that he goes by Bones.
According to Wikipedia, his nickname was created in 1990 when Fred Couples couldn't remember his name because he is lanky and 6'4".
That's fucking
Bones.
That's a hell of a way to get a nickname.
He had both knees replaced in 2016.
You said Freddie Couples?
Freddie Couples couldn't remember the dude's name.
I want Freddie Couples to give me a nickname.
How about some of these caddy nicknames? We got Bones. We got Mike Fluff Cohen.
Oh,
Fluff.
Yeah. Is he fat? Is he the guy with giant calves? Whose caddy is that? You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, the fat guy?
Every time I go to a golf tournament, I see this dude. He caddies for somebody big time. And he has the biggest calves I've ever seen. He's a big fat guy. He's a great big fat guy. He's huge. He looks like a fucking NFL player. But
you
his calves are bigger than both my legs put together.
Tiger's former caddy?
I don't know.
Steve
maybe.
Williams. Steve Williams? He caddies for Adam Scott now.
Yeah. I think he has giant calves.
No, I don't think it's somebody as big as Adam Scott.
Would you rather be like monster calf guy or skinny leg guy?
It depends on the build of the rest of your body.
I think monster calf guy is a freak. I think it's not a good look.
It can be a bad look.
I'm not talking about like tones, like good looking calves. I'm talking like, oh my god, look at that guy's fucking calves.
Yeah, you look like a psycho.
Yeah,
like you're like just assumed to be a bit of a psycho.
Those kind of look like tumors.
It's like, dude,
on
do you hike Mount Everest every morning when you wake up? Like, why are your calves?
Maybe go to the doctor, get that checked out.
Yeah,
maybe it might be cancerous. I don't
know. Yeah, cancer calves.
We got Asbestos, who used to work for Jim Furyk.
That's not the nickname
Rich
you
Beam.
Want.
Bambi, Ron Bambi Levin.
I don't hate that.
Used to caddy for Anthony Kim and Jack Nicklaus. You know, might have heard of him. Yep. Skillet.
That's a good one. That's a cool name.
Used to caddy for Ben Crenshaw.
Bones is still the best of all these.
Last Call Lance.
He probably closes the bar down.
You know there's a caddy hall of fame?
Squeaky.
Really?
Yeah.
We got
Apparently
Squeaky.
Bones will be... Oh, wait, no. I'm sorry. Maybe there's not a cat. We should make the Caddy Hall of Fame.
I don't know. Yeah.
This is the list right here. Thirsty. And a guy that goes by Pepsi. Stephen Pepsi Hale.
Huh.
Was on Keegan
Bradley's bag.
Guess
who's
going
to take over Bones' duties? Phil's brother, Tim.
No shit.
Yeah, Tim Mickelson. Who knows what he was doing? Oh, he's a former golf coach of Arizona State and agent for John Rahm.
Tim Mickelson is one of those names, like when your first name ends with the same letter that your last name starts with, your name runs together. Tim Mickelson.
You have
it's hard,
say the
it's hard
first name.
To break between
name.
Those two. Tim so you Mickelson. Say Tim Mickelson, like it's one long ass
name.
Can't
just say Tim.
Yeah, that I'm not into that. If you have one of those names, I don't like you.
So Bones is 52. Huh.
See, that's up there.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
He's carried a lot of bags in his day, Bill.
Here's a quote from Bones about his nickname and Freddie Couples. He was trying to get my attention from across a room, and he didn't know my name. Finally, he just yelled, "Bones," and it stuck. What?
How did you come up with that?
You can't just yell random words.
He
might have
called him
across a room.
Yeah. He looked like a bag of bones.
I don't understand how he would be like, "Oh yeah, he's talking to me."
I'm just gonna say bones. Let's see what happens. Yeah.
The guy was clearly insulting me.
Freddie drinks. Freddie drinks alcohol.
What do you think a caddy's life is like?
I think it's probably pretty stressful, man. You just get belittled. A lot of it is like taking heat. You know,
well, if you're Bubba's caddy.
A lot of caddies take heat, though.
A lot of it
Bubba's
is
especially.
You provide a lot of like emotional support too to your guy.
Being you have to be a mighty oak of an emotional person.
Yeah, you have to balance them out. You can't
I couldn't
let him
be
go.
A caddy.
You can't let him go out drinking if he's got a tea time in the morning.
Right, you can't let him do heroin with like a couple of prostitutes.
Heroin is off limits.
Yeah,
if you're out at the bar though, what do you just tell people you carry a bag for
a
living?
You're a confidant.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Dude, they make good fucking money.
Like it strikes you as a beta job.
Yeah.
You know? Because you're not the golfer. You're the guy who carries the golfer's bag. But it's not really a beta job. Like it's a better job than all of our jobs.
Right.
These guys are killing it. Well, a lot of them are killing it.
If you're caddying for Phil, yeah, you are.
Yeah. So I mean, in reality, it's kind of a weird position to be in. Awesome, awesome job. Maybe a beta job, though. Maybe makes you a beta male.
Yeah. It doesn't require a high level of intelligence or you don't need to, you know.
You gotta study golf courses a lot. Take a lot of notes on a notepad.
You don't need a college
notepad.
Degree.
You got to be able to read your own handwriting. That's a part of it. Because you're making notes.
They're very busy dudes, though.
Got to be able to hold a small pencil and make notes with it.
You have to know the course very, very well.
Watch a lot of, like, game tape. Do they do that? Do they watch golf game tape? I don't know.
No, but they walk the course before their guy ever goes out there. And
damn, so they got to walk. That's
lots of walking.
Extra walking, even.
Got to read greens.
And if you're Bubba's caddy, you gotta be okay being berated nonstop.
It's always your fault.
Yeah, you just get called the F word a lot.
If your yardage is off by 1.5, he's going to come at you.
Yeah.
On television.
Calls you a little
sometimes.
Bitch yeah. On live TV.
I don't think I would want to be a caddy.
Calls you a cocksucker. Yeah. That's what Bubba does. I could do it. I could be a caddy. I mean, I'd be really, really bad. But I'd do it. I'd do it right now.
How important are caddies?
I'd be like,
I think they're pretty important. It feels like, okay, scale of, let's rate importance. NBA basketball coach, caddy, NFL coach, tennis coach, and
tennis coach
and hockey coach, from most important to least important.
Most important is football.
I think most important NFL coach or just any football coach above the high school level. Where does hockey coach fall in this? Because after watching the NHL playoffs, I'm very confused about what a hockey coach even does. There's like three plays. Once your team has those down,
tells everybody
you set the shifts.
Like, all right, change the shift.
That's
no
it.
No idea.
That seems like a pretty sweet gig. I don't think they get paid very much, though.
My dad did it for like 2 years, so it can't be that hard.
Caddies got to be more important than NBA coaches. NBA coaches do very, very, very little. GMs are more important than coaches. You're most like, they're kind of similar, I guess, because it's mostly about emotional support and keeping your guys from fucking up.
But see, I would compare a caddy more to like the equipment manager than the coach.
But there's so much, every shot, they're like, you're going to want to, you know, hit this one 5 yards left because of the wind or the roll or whatever the fuck. Like, you ever had somebody who knows a golf course really, really well playing that course with you and able to tell you, like, certain ins and outs of what you want to do? It's awesome. It makes it a lot easier to play. Yeah. And I'm fucking terrible. So it's like, if I know the if I can tell the difference, imagine having a caddy who knows it like the back of his hand.
Having a knowledgeable, experienced caddy will probably save you 3 strokes.
It's a huge deal. So, I mean, you're important.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No question.
But that's you, the amateur golfer, not you, the professional golfer who, like, knows everything about golf. I don't know how much of a difference it would make.
I think it makes a big
difference.
There's
a lot. They lean on their caddies a lot.
Yeah.
Just for reassurance.
Moving on to the NHL.
Just to talk out just shots and strategies and shit. I mean,
it's like having a psychiatrist out there.
Spieth, for example, he talks to his caddy, I forgot his name, nonstop. They're always discussing shots and yardages and approaches.
I love how all caddies have a good story, too.
Oh, yeah. Dude, they see
like Spieth's caddy, he was like a teacher.
Dude, they see some shit. These guys, they go on the road for these tournaments. They don't stay in their hotel rooms each night and just
golfers are scumbags.
They don't
read
a book.
Well, you don't just get in.
They're going out, and their caddies are not staying in either. They're going out with them.
Nobody grows up and is like, I want to be a caddy.
It's a well-known fact that most professional golfers are sexual perverts.
Do you know how much shit John Daly's caddy has seen? He's seen some shit. He should write a book one day.
He's seen John Daly eat an ass.
Oh, he's seen. Oh yeah,
at least
all the ass.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dustin Johnson's brother is his caddy. So I'm not sure how much help he is.
That guy drinks a lot to like suppress the darkness that he sees. Dustin Johnson's brother. Let's move on to the NHL, where the expansion draft is taking place this morning for our Las Vegas
My Vegas Golden Knights.
Your Vegas Golden Knights.
Did you see the jerseys?
And Adidas unveiled all the new uniforms for, I guess they got the contract for the NHL now, but we got to look at the Golden Knights.
They're dope.
They're not.
They're dope.
They're not.
They're so good.
They're not.
Dude, the helmet, the what do you call the Knights helmet?
Helmets are cool.
It has a V. You see the V in it?
Yes.
For Vegas? That shit's
cool. No, he means the logo, not the actual helmets.
Yeah, the logo.
Oh, yeah. No,
the logo
that's
has like a
bad.
Kind of like a hidden V. It's cool for Vegas.
Hidden?
A little bit.
It's gold, I think.
No, the V's
check it out, dog.
Black.
It's not cool. A pretty helmet. It's.
I need a jersey.
Okay.
I'm all in on the Knights. All
right, so you want to know some of the guys they can get this morning?
Sure.
Lay it on you.
Let's see if I've heard of any of them.
James Neal, Nashville Predator. Used to play for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He was on your Nashville Predators, though.
Can't have been that important. Don't know him.
He's kind of important for that team. Probably the best available player on the draft board. Joe Thornton, he's about 80 years old, but
I've heard his name,
captain
though.
Of the San Jose Sharks.
Okay. Okay, I feel like I played as him in a video game at some point in my life.
He's been in the league for
perhaps
maybe a decade. Like
okay.
100 years. So like a century.
100 yeah. years.
Century.
Got it.
We have Bobby Ryan from the Ottawa Senators.
Bobby.
Just a great name.
Hell of a slap shot.
And
on that guy.
The Pittsburgh Penguin benched goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury.
Oh.
So he's available.
I've heard of him.
Most noted name in the draft. Very cool name, too, by the way.
I'd probably say Bobby Ryan.
Is he an American?
Sounds
no,
French.
He's Canadian.
Oh, well, French-Canadian.
Oh, that's fucking Canadians.
French-Canadian.
Former
French
first
influence.
Overall pick. Got his ass benched in favor of Murray.
It happens.
Yeah. Now he's going to be in Vegas Golden Knight.
So after today, will we know the Vegas Golden Knights' entire lineup?
After tonight, yeah.
Is that how it works?
They're doing like an entire unveiling.
Also, tonight, they are having the NHL award show and the expansion draft in one TV show.
Hell yeah. That's going to be exciting. I wonder what channel it's on.
Okay, I'm looking at a picture of the Vegas Golden Knights jerseys right now. I'm in love. These are amazing.
This is very weird. Most people hate them.
Dude, they're great.
They got a terrible reaction on Twitter.
Look at the V in the helmet. It's fucking cool, man.
You know what that people are going to say it stands for?
Vagina? Is that what you're
thinking? You said it, not me. You said it. Dude, no. These are These are fucking stupid.
Should I get the white one or the is the other one gray or is it green? I can't tell.
And it's not an indistinct V. It's a giant, very obvious V that is most of the logo.
Dude, I'm into it.
I just don't.
They just don't look like real jerseys.
Someone send me a jersey, please.
They look like bootleg jerseys.
You know how?
The road.
Yeah, you know how in like a football movie where they didn't want to pay for the rights to the actual team,
like Any Given Sunday,
so they make one.
That's
up.
What this.
This
looks
is
like.
An Any Given Sunday jersey.
Yeah, this is like some shit that from like the Replacements. That's what this looks like.
Well, anyway. I'll be wearing one soon. So there you go.
All right. Well, I'll get a hockey jersey. I'll get a Preds jersey. Hockey jerseys make you look cool, that you get respect.
You've been a fan since you were born. So.
They're called sweaters, actually.
Lifelong fan. It's time to get a fucking jersey.
They're called sweaters.
See?
And hockey jerseys are called a kit or some stupid shit? What are they called?
Those are soccer.
What'd yeah. I say?
I think you said hockey.
Oh, I meant soccer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're called kits.
That's a cool.
But I will never call anything a kit.
Stupid. It's a great kit.
Hey, nice kit. Let's go out on the pitch. Fucking nerds.
Sorry. Okay, well... Let's toss it to a break, and we'll be back.
So if you're listening to this, you probably enjoy podcasts. Well, guess what? We've got a podcast ourselves. I'm Dave. I'm here with Will and Dylan. We're Touching Base guys. Why don't you come join us? Be part of Touch Nation. It's a thing. It's sweeping the country and even the world.
I thought we were calling them Base Touchers.
Base Touchers, Touch Nation, Touchers, whatever you want to call yourself. We just want you to listen.
I thought it was DCO Nation, deal closes only.
That's a whole different thing. It's a subset. It's hard to explain. You have to listen to pick up on this. Subscribe, give us 5 stars, leave us a review. Just give us a shot during your business. That's all we ask.
All right, we're back. Some important information that you need to absorb into your tiny brain really quick. We have a new movie out from Grand X Productions. Grand X is the name of our parent company that produces this podcast. The movie is called Random Tropical Paradise. And it is an iTunes best-selling comedy and indie film as of a couple days ago, actually. It's got a bunch of notable people in it, that recognizable, I'll say. Perhaps not notable, but recognizable faces.
They're noteworthy.
Such as noted Vine star Brittany Ferlin, who has great cans. So if you're into that.
Oh, beautiful cans on her.
Random Tropical Paradise is the name of the movie. It's a nice little lighthearted comedy. Being billed as a smart, a dumb movie for smart people, which
clever.
That's fair. It's an indie. If you just, you know, you're looking for something to watch this weekend, maybe you're high.
It's an iTunes best fucking seller.
Maybe you're a little high.
Have you gotten to that yet, you idiot?
Yeah, I said that.
Oh, you
twice.
Did. I wasn't listening to you.
Come on, man. Anyway, hit up iTunes, rent or buy it. Buy it and own it forever. Random Tropical Paradise is the name of the movie. Support us here at Grand X Productions. We appreciate your vote. Moving on. What does it say? Boxing? That can't possibly be the set. Oh, it is. Boxing.
He will read anything that is on the prompt.
Boxing is now a segment that we talk about because of Floyd and Connor, which really upsets me. But the news today, we've spoken of the Big Three. Which is this 3-on-3 basketball league.
Ice Cube's.
That Ice Cube owns and is going to be, I guess, when does this start?
It's for retired basketball players. It starts this week, according to Micah.
We've got a hotline call really quickly. We're going to play that's going to seg into this.
It's going to intermingle boxing and Ice Cube's Big Three League.
And you might be asking yourself, how? How is that possible? Well, you're going to find out. Here's the call.
Hey guys, this is Brody from Illinois and Rutgers. First time, long time. Wanted to get your opinion on the Mayweather-McGregor fight being double booked with Ice Cube's Big 3-on-3 League. Figured y'all would have some good commentary on that.
Okay, so the story here, as I'm being told, is that the Big 3 booked out the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas for their championship. Which obviously is extremely important and millions of people care about. Same time as the Mayweather-McGregor fight, which is clearly not as important as the Big Three Championship, but it's up there. Big sporting event. Point being, with heavy, heavy sarcasm in everything that I just said, the winner here is Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Who now has a massive chip to play in order to score. He should basically be the center of attention at this Floyd at Mayweather right. McGregor that isn't a fighter.
He's holding the arena hostage. He's trying to, I don't know, maybe get tickets ringside.
He's going to get paid is what's going
to
happen.
He needs to get what immediately film like his next family movie, then get ringside. That's how you translate this into the most money possible.
What's the venue?
T-Mobile Arena.
Which is in Vegas.
It's in Vegas.
Okay.
Brand new arena. It's been open for maybe 6 months.
Is that gotcha. Where okay. is that where the Knights are playing?
It is where your Vegas Knights will
Holy
be playing.
Holy fuck.
Now we're talking.
Look how it all ties together.
It's a nice
Here's my
arena.
Question. How does this happen? How do you double book? How does Mayweather McGregor say, oh yeah, we're going to do it here at this time?
I guess they just assume we can do it wherever the fuck we want. And then Ice Cube was like,
Connor Floyd.
He's like,
Ice
hey guys.
Cube was like, hold up.
Nah, I got my shitty league in there that night.
He probably called and was like, hey, well, we actually had the Big Three Championship that night. And they were like, the fuck is the Big Three Championship?
I think there's a very simple resolution to this. And you just do both.
At the same time.
You know, you have the Big Three lead up to the fight.
It's or like that.
A little appetizer.
It's the rest of the card is just Big Three. And then
you put it both on pay-per-view, maybe bump the price up an extra like 10, 15 bucks.
Are there no trampolines in the Big Three or anything like that?
No, this is not slam ball.
There's a four-point shot, but there are no trampolines.
Where's and the four-point shot from?
There's 3 4-point spots. The league does start this weekend. I believe it's on either Saturday or Sunday in Brooklyn.
Which league was it that had the one goal like 20 feet up in the air above the others?
It wasn't a league. It was like MTV, like Rock and Jock, stupid shit like that.
God, that was the best, though.
So funny. Yeah, there's like a 30-foot goal. Yeah. You had to launch it up there.
And the whole game is basically everybody trying to make it in that goal.
And the a half-court shot was worth like 25 or some shit.
Dude, those were the days.
Yeah.
That was the prime of my life. The best days of my life when I was watching that show.
You're speaking for all of us. Those were all of our best days.
Anyway, I assume Ice Cube ends up with some sweet deal here. In the same vein, we've seen photos the last couple days circulating. And not even circulating. McGregor's just straight up posting these photos all over the fucking place. He puts up one like every 2 hours on Instagram of him in his gym training for this fight. His gym features a massive mural. It's a painting of him landing a strong right hook on Floyd Mayweather's face.
Yeah, not much defense from Floyd in that particular rendering.
No, not a lot of defense in that mural.
His arms are hanging down. He's just taking one on the chin.
What? I wonder who painted that thing. Like that's a good gig.
I don't know.
It was actually Connor himself.
It was him. Yeah,
they played him quickly though, didn't they?
Dude, I really hope he comes out there and I guess we'll just talk about it every week till it happens.
It's going to go 12 rounds.
I mean, I want to complain every week about how overhyped it's going to be, but I also want to be part of the overhyping. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
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 He's a southpaw.
I want to be part of the problem.
Floyd's going to struggle with that.
He's at 11-1 right now, I want to say.
He's not a professional boxer. That's not bad odds. 11-1? I might bet on this shit. Is it getting better or worse? Like, should I wait for the odds to get worse or better?
Sure.
I don't know. You pounce now?
I think you wait. Till all the money comes in last second on Floyd. Then you go on Connor.
But I'm worried that's not going to be the case. Maybe this is legit. It's not.
Man, I just don't see how he lands. He lands a single fucking punch.
So you're on the Max Kellerman side of camp where he said he's not going to land a single clean punch on Floyd.
I don't give a fuck about Max Kellerman.
It's not the Max Kellerman.
That's
camp.
A lot of people have that.
I probably said that before Kellerman. I bet I was the first person in the whole world to say
that. He's a technician. Like he's a boxing.
He's the goddamn devil.
He's 40.
He
he's 40, but he's
a man.
Hasn't boxed in 2 years.
You can't touch him.
I don't think it matters. He's never been punched in his entire life. What is he has no damage to his brain.
Yeah,
he's not even an eligible candidate for like CTE study postpartum. Postpartum?
You got to get punched for that.
He's been hit before.
Postpartum is not the phrase I was looking for.
No.
That's That's not it.
That's after you have a baby.
That's not related to boxing at all.
I think that if you're going to look at this from a gambling perspective, now is the time to bet on Conor, because if you get closer to the fight, he will have an army of Irish fans that fly in for all of his fights, and they will be doing nothing but betting, putting money on him.
That's a good point.
So if you want to bet Mayweather, you might want to wait until right before the fight.
Vegas is going to be electric.
The Irish money and the Irish human trash is going to be flowing into this country.
Why are they trash?
There's just a lot of trashy Irishmen out there. They're noted trash people.
Oh, the last time Conor fought in Vegas, Irishmen, and I think that's the right thing to say, shut down the street, like the strip. They were partying and so drunk in the middle of the afternoon.
Man, we got to go.
That they just stopped traffic.
I don't see a problem with that.
There isn't a problem with it. It's just what the Irish
people.
Do.
They call my people trash.
I'm Irish too. They're trash people.
Irish people are great.
They get fucked up and they shut the street down. What do you call that if not a trash person?
A fun person.
Also, another to ride Micah's point, the closer we get to the fight, the more and more opportunities McGregor is going to have had to talk shit, which the real battle here will be to see who can talk better shit, and I believe that is McGregor.
Easily.
And more hype will get built up behind him as that shit talking goes on. More and more money will probably flow that way as well. So maybe now is the time. Buy low.
He's going to do it.
Yes. I'm starting to buy into your theory.
He believes it so much that's just going to happen.
He's going to will it into existence. Yeah.
Have you seen videos of him sparring with people?
Yeah.
Like boxing?
He looks like he knows what he's doing. But he doesn't. Also, what?
He doesn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I saw one. I saw
granted,
still images.
Granted, it's 2 years old. One
You're
I
huge
saw.
Boxing expert.
But he just got worked.
So I was looking at still photos of him working in the gym yesterday.
That's what you're going by?
He looked really good.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could look good in a still. Probably.
I'm just saying from judging those still photos, I was like, man, Conor looks like he's gonna bring it.
Look, he's got his hands up.
Like he's in boxing positions.
Yeah.
What do they call his? He's got like a famous name for his stance. Not a famous name, a name for his famous stance. It's called like the
Irish Bulldog.
What's it called, Micah? The way he.
His like fighting style?
Yeah.
He's like wiry.
His swagger
dick. I know,
but
he has some stance. It's called like the. I don't know. It's fucking cool. I wish I had something like that.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
No one respects me in the ring, though.
That's true.
Yeah, I know. Micah was saying the other day.
Glass jaw is what they call me.
Micah was saying the other day he'd like to see you in the octagon.
Yeah.
At some point.
Micah thinks I could scrap.
He's wrong.
I don't know why.
No,
I am 1-0 in my lifetime.
Fuck, hold on. Huge college football news. Will Greer is eligible at West Virginia University.
Is this the kid whose brother is a Vine star?
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm pretty sure.
You just answer your own question?
Yeah.
Micah, look this up. His brother's like a really famous douchebag on Vine. He has like millions of followers on Twitter.
Well, not anymore. No longer a Vine star.
Well, he's still famous.
I don't know who this guy is.
That is correct. Vine star Nash Greer.
Yeah.
Tweet.
Oh my God.
Supports his older brother, suspended quarterback right. Will Greer.
So why was he suspended?
To give you a little background, this was the redshirt freshman at Florida 2 years ago that they got off to a hot start. They were undefeated. They were probably one of the four best teams in the country with him at quarterback. But he got popped for a over-the-counter total nutrition supplement just because he wanted to put on mass. He's just all about...
What the hell is a total... What?
Like an over-the-counter supplement you get at like... not GNC. GNC is for like people that don't really lift. Total nutrition... Total nutrition is like where you can get
Such
the good stuff.
Such a meathead thing to say.
It's
man.
Where you get the good stuff. So he gets popped for that. He gets suspended the rest of the year. They lose the LSU game with Harris at quarterback. And like... So he has this whole like suspension hanging over his head. He ends up transferring to West Virginia, and he had to sit out a year to transfer to another Division I program. So they were just wondering if he there was a potential that he wasn't going to get back till Game 7 with West Virginia, but they're just going to let him play Game 1 against Virginia Tech.
His brother Nash Greer, the Vine star, 5.96 million Twitter followers.
This kid, okay, I got a couple things to say about him. He got in trouble about a year ago, I want to say, for dropping like multiple F-bombs in a video that leaked. Like,
who?
And when I say F-bomb, I mean like the slur for a gay person, that F-bomb.
Nash
brother,
or Will?
Nash. Yeah. Nash. If you are in the mood to just hate someone,
it's this kid.
And I get in this mood sometimes. Go hate watch his videos.
I was
he
born
is the
in
most
that
punchable, hateable douchebag on the entire internet. I'm not kidding. You will be.
Here's a question.
Seething with
hatred.
Based
on that, then I have a question. If some, let's just assume you're correct. I'm going to assume
I'm
you're
so correct.
I'm going to assume that this is an accurate depiction of this Vine star.
Yeah, I cannot
First
be more
of all, if you can be called a Vine star and you're a male, a member of the male sex, your odds of being not a douchebag are very low.
His fan base, I want to say, is probably average age is probably 14 years old. So he skews younger.
Okay, but assuming you are correct,
yeah,
and this guy is just an absolute piece of work, one of the most hateable people on the face of the earth.
Yes,
is there any chance that his brother is not?
No. So
I don't know.
Here's the thing: we're gonna all be on Will Greer in West Virginia because the over/under for West Virginia this year was 7 as of yesterday on Bovada. Hammer the over because they're gonna be 7-0 going into the Oklahoma State game.
Why do you think this kid's so good?
Because he was that good at Florida.
He was?
Yeah.
Okay, having seen no
as a freshman, redshirt
no
freshman.
Games from Will Greer and never having seen any of his brother's vines, but just going off what you just said, I'm out on Will Greer.
He also
has 6 million followers on Twitter. Think about that.
Will Greer is also the guy that had like a 900-yard passing game in high school.
There is literally no way this guy's
and
good.
And Dana Holgerson's going to let him throw it like 60 times a game. Like, if you can get Greer 50-1 right now as a Heisman, I'd
just
take
pull
it.
Up a picture of his brother, and you're gonna hate the
I'm
whole family.
I'm just trying to judge, just like objectively here, and say that I'm out on Will Greer.
I'm out on the whole Greer family.
Yes,
I'm in.
Out.
I'll buy that Greer stock.
Out.
Dan's all in.
Got another note here under the college football segment that says Malik Zaire,
former
to Florida
Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
He was flirting with Texas for a little bit. It got me a little excited, but
little
nah.
Dick tugging.
Yeah. Little tug going on. Dick.
But he's going to Florida, who has apparently, like, according to Jake Goldman, our marketing manager, they have like 10 quarterbacks now. So
Florida's. Do we have to talk about college football anymore? Florida.
I mean, this is a college football podcast. Those were the origins of this podcast.
Yeah, but it's not even the reason for the season right now.
Yeah, but the Will Greer news is big with the Big 12.
With his douche brother. All right, God, we got brother. Some more hotline calls we're going to get to here. Our hotline number is 800-392-6344. Call us and give us a...
Maybe Nash Greer called.
Tell us your opinion. Yeah, Nash Greer.
Nash, if you're listening, call our hotline, little twat.
Defend yourself, douche boy.
Just a quick reminder, about 3 weeks ago we talked about what are we going to talk about during this sports dead period.
Apparently Vine.
And we got several calls... of people giving us suggestions for sports to watch. So that's the theme of the first few hotline calls.
Oh, this should be riveting. Here's our first call.
Hey, this is for Back to Recover. You guys were looking for a sport to watch, you know, before the college football starts back, you know. I got it. Major League Lacrosse. Hell of a time. You're welcome. By the way, Dan, Braves are kicking the Phillies' ass right now. Fuck off.
Yeah. Dan, I'm going to let you respond to that.
Congrats, man. We're the worst team in baseball.
There you go. Phillies fan from the mouth of Dan, worst team in baseball. No, I'm not going to watch Major League Lacrosse.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out on lacrosse.
Nothing could get me to watch Major League Lacrosse. I have actually gambled on a lacrosse game before.
College?
And still not watched it because I just don't care. I don't know the rules. I didn't play lacrosse. I had buddies that did, like 3 of my best friends did, which made me just that much more out on lacrosse.
Also, Major League Lacrosse, I think, is like indoors too, so that's like a weird aspect.
It just if you're not no, I just can't do it.
You're also from the South. You're not from the Northeast. You're not from the lacrosse
right,
hotbed.
I'm not from a lacrosse hotbed or anything like that. But weirdly enough, like let's say I have like a best friend group of like 5 dudes from high school. The other 4 played lacrosse. 1 went and played in college.
Is he
I know lacrosse MLL? Dudes. No, he's not. He's a fucking programmer in Silicon Valley. So he sold out hard. He no longer has flow.
I'm trying to grow that flow back.
I was, man, but then it's just too fucking hot here. Lacrosse players' best... What do you call it? What like best style of any athletes.
Yo, yeah.
But... least important
it's
athletes.
Like scumbag mixed with yuppie that works.
Yeah. Yeah.
that works. Yeah.
Like, I agree with their, what do you call your, like, general style?
Demeanor?
Disposition?
No, your aesthetic.
Oh.
Like, I want that, the lacrosse aesthetic.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want to watch them play the little Native American game they play.
Big fan of the mid-calves.
They have huge calves. A lot of lacrosse players.
No, the socks. The mid-calf socks.
Oh. Let's get back to talking about the calves, though. Because that's important.
I'm out on
a lot of lacrosse
calves.
Dudes have big, terrifying calves.
I'm out on big calves.
It's because
of
the socks, though. It's
like they accentuate.
It's like a push-up bra.
Skinny legs are in summer 2017.
I'm all in on having chicken legs.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm very much going for that look.
Yeah, you started wearing shorts recently. You're usually always a pant guy.
I'm a pants guy for as long as I can be
a pants guy.
You're
showing those stems off now.
Now it's time to embrace the stork look. All right, here's our next call.
Hey, guys, it's Jordan from the Texas area. Now that we're entering the worst part of the sports calendar, I think you guys should try watching Formula One. Basically, it's the fastest race cars on the planet. There's no ovals like NASCAR. There's incredible skill and technology involved, and it's just plain fun to watch. There's a race this weekend in Canada, so there's no crazy time zone differences, and it's available on NBC Sports. So you should definitely give it a shot. Thanks.
Okay, Jordan
from the Texas area.
That was a great call.
That's a great little inside joke that he threw in there that people are going to overlook.
Jordan from the Texas area.
Yeah. I think he knew what he was doing.
I just made my day.
He knew what he was doing. He's listened to the podcast before.
I love this call because in Austin, Texas, which is where we reside, where this podcast is recorded live in the Grand X Media Studio, we had or have an F1 track. I don't think we have any more F1. Didn't we run out our contracts up or some shit?
We have like a weekend every year.
But we built a track.
Where like all the people from...
There is a race this year. I don't know
is
how much
longer.
Is this
our last one?
It's unclear, but there will be one this year.
Okay.
Is this still the only one in the United States?
Yes, as of right now. Apparently they were building a track in New York, New Jersey area.
So Austin went all in on this F1 thing. And we built one just outside the city. Well, maybe it's in the city limits. It's just outside of...
It's by the airport.
The normal area of Austin. Like, it's a fucking...
Outskirts is what they call
that. It's a pain in the dick to get out there. It's hot as shit. I went to the X Games at one point. They were hosted out there. Anyway, we get this F1 deal. And what it does to your city is turn you into some kind of international hooker destination. That's basically what it is.
It just turns the bars into a bunch of 5-foot dudes from Saudi Arabia or Dubai.
But they bring in all their hookers, and all the hookers come from all over the country to come get this Arab money.
Nice.
And it's weird. There's Ferraris and Lambos parked all over your fucking downtown, which I'm fine with those things. Those are great things. But F1, I just don't understand the culture. Like, even he's trying to explain it, like, that it's somehow these F1 people, they think they're better than NASCAR people.
Because they're not going in circles?
What, because there's slight bends in the road?
I think it's because of the machinery. It's the vehicles are...
See, I'm not a mechanical
guy. Super high-tech, very expensive automobiles.
They're not driving Toyotas.
Yeah, they're like... I mean, these are...
Fine Italian machines.
I saw a movie about F1 drivers. It was made by Ron Howard. That's all I know.
Porn star?
It might have been called
Drive.
Or no,
that's Ron Jeremy.
I have a legit question about NASCAR. Okay. And this is me asking just out of pure ignorance because I don't know. How difficult is it to become an elite NASCAR driver?
fuck would we know?
It's not like, oh, this guy's some guy is born with the ability to, you know, throw a 99 mile per hour fastball when he's older.
Sure.
God given ability. Some guys are just, you know, 7 feet tall and he can, you know, they're good at basketball.
Right.
What goes into being a good NASCAR driver? Just repetition. I mean, how much of his skill?
I think a lot of it is anticipation and the ability to not lose focus when you're bored out of your fucking mind. Because you ever been on a really long road trip and somewhere around hour three, you start to wonder what
hour
would happen
three.
If you just like twisted off the road?
Maybe. Yeah, that's like hour 13.
No, I'm usually around hour three.
Yeah.
So like Dan would clearly be a better NASCAR driver than me.
Yeah.
He doesn't break down until hour 13. I'm thinking about suicide 3 hours in. That's, I think, the biggest part of being a NASCAR driver.
These races last about 2 hours, 2-3 hours, something like that?
That's, yeah.
You just have to maintain focus for that long? Is that?
You got to, are they allowed to take Adderall?
Are you allowed to put it on cruise control?
Also a good question.
It's 220.
I know there's a lot that goes into like learning, you know, the craft. I understand that.
The steering wheel and shit.
No,
but
no.
Can you just teach anybody that?
Let's just be ignorant and just say, you can. You can teach everybody that.
I mean, if I grew up
driving
that,
a car?
Driving
like
a car.
Like at age six, they strap you in behind
if
the
I
wheel.
Grew up racing like that, racing a vehicle of some sort, could I be a fucking NASCAR driver?
Here's my question. Well, first of all, I want to correct myself. The movie Ron Howard produced, Rush, great movie. It's about F1. Go watch that movie. Back to what you're saying.
What was that Tom Cruise movie that he was in a long time ago? NASCar.
Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder. That's
right. NASCAR though. This is F1. We're talking about F1.
I was talking. NASCAR.
Oh, now we're talking about NASCAR.
I was talking NASCAR.
All right. So obviously, if I decided today, at 30 years old, I want to be a professional baseball player, my odds are highly diminished by my age.
One in a billion.
Right. Point being, most sports, the older you get, the shittier your odds are. Your body's breaking down. You're shittier at everything.
I think you're underselling yourself, Bill.
Not necessarily me, but most people.
No.
How does that work with driving? Like, if I decided right now, fuck this, I'm out on the real world, I'm going to go become a NASCAR driver. Is that a possibility? Like, I'm saying with most sports, you would have had to be all in on this shit at like age 8.
I think.
Man, how do you get in? How do you
I
get
think
into
they are
it?
Though. I think these kids are racing like go-karts at like 5.
I know, but my point is, there's nothing physically to prevent me from going all in on being a NASCAR driver right now. I can start my life right now.
You're a little behind the curve. The
okay,
ball.
But
maybe by 50, I'm there.
How do you get into it? How do you like? Oh, this kid's got what it takes to be a driver. Let's get him in a car. I don't understand how.
I don't either.
They have
how
a dad
that
that's,
happens.
A dad that's really into racing.
It's like
pushes
you, that's a good. You have to have like connections, I feel like, to be a
what is
this
it?
Community.
It's like, you know how when you're a little kid, somebody will have a birthday party at a go-kart track. You like see a kid make a move and you're like, holy shit,
that guy's got potential.
This kid's got what it could
be. He's just driving a fucking go-kart.
Who knows? I don't know how? I understand nothing about the world.
I don't either. I don't know how to get into it. And if I was a really good driver of NASCAR, if I have the ability to, how would anyone discover me?
That's the thing I don't get.
You're 7 years old, bumping other kids like off.
So
the
you
cart.
Have to start super fucking young and
off the
and
track.
Just,
like I'll regularly be driving my car, and like make a tight move and be like, man, I could have been big.
There are some people in like Alabama, Kentucky, Georgia right now. They're just fucking losing their minds listening to us talk about this. I understand that. But
I think it takes massive balls.
I legit
too.
Don't know.
It's massive balls to be a NASCAR driver.
I think there's a couple criteria. Like half the people in the Cup Series are second or third generation drivers. So like that helps. And
which
then,
leads me to believe that anyone can do it.
Right.
Well, and then the other thing is
that's
like
genetics,
you,
man.
The bad, other thing that, yeah. that works for your argument is genetics. That if you have a super rich dad who will sponsor you, you can get on. Like there's a guy on the Cup Series named Paul Menard, and his dad owns Menards.
I guess what I'm trying to say is there's nothing special about these NASCAR drivers. It's just
that's a hot take.
It's just that they're in the game. They got in there and they're making all this
that's
money.
That's what I'm saying. We could go do this.
There's nothing special
how
about
dare
it
you?
From,
how dare
a, from
you?
A talent standpoint.
How dare you? Jimmy Johnson, how many ESPYs of best athlete does he have?
You do have to have giant
what
stones.
What Micah just said firmed up my stance.
I agree.
So much.
It's just family tradition, basically.
Yeah.
Well, tradition has to start somewhere.
Like
I say
fraternity.
We start now.
And I know you can't just pluck some random asshole off the street and throw him in a NASCAR. He's going to perform. I know that.
He's going to die.
He has to learn. He has to learn how to do it. And there's a lot that goes into that. I get it.
Yeah.
But there's
pedaling,
nothing special about this guy.
Shifting
gears. Can you even drive stick?
What's the guy with no chin that I hate? He's
Tony
really,
Stewart.
Not Tony Stewart.
He killed a guy.
Tony fucking, Stewart
he's
did
got,
kill
he's
a guy.
Got the bug eyes and his no chin.
Is he a NASCAR
I think
driver?
He's got like a last name ends with Owski.
Is he a NASCAR
guys.
Driver?
Yeah, NASCAR guy.
Then why the fuck would I know his name?
Micah, you should know.
Brad Keselowski.
Thank you. Fuck that guy. Wait, I think that's him.
Who?
Oh, dude.
This is the most he's ever been.
This guy is the Nash Greer of NASCAR. He's so punchable.
That is not what you want to be compared to.
So I don't know if that's the right guy.
You hate him more than Tony Stewart, who killed a man?
Okay, I will say
I'm
this.
I'm not getting into that.
In defense of Tony Stewart, no, I'm just kidding. But I will say this. I feel I do get that fundamentally.
I'm going to look up who I am. Just I want to be sure.
If we all decided right now, like, fuck it, let's become NASCAR fans, it's something that would be very, very fun to go all in on without any real reasoning.
Just like, you pick a number.
You don't need to know too much. If I spent the next 6 hours, I could know everything you need to know about NASCAR. Probably. 6 hours.
Give or take.
Can't do that with most sports.
Right.
You drink heavily in a grassy field while you watch other people hauling ass. That sounds fun.
You pour some out for three.
Get a three sticker. You put it on the back of your car. There's not much to it.
I have a quick counterpoint. In college, I had a connection to Carl Edwards, who is now since retired NASCAR driver. One of his professors was his stepfather.
Noted backflipper.
He's from Columbia, Missouri.
I remember that.
Anyway,
guy.
So we got into NASCAR. We had a fantasy league, and it's a great sport to like nap to on Sundays. You just have it on, and you fall asleep, and you wake up and watch the last 10 laps.
It's golf on crack.
The problem is that the season is like 43 races long. It never ends. It ends in like November, and then it starts again in February. And it's just like, I can't handle this.
Okay,
the races are like 4 hours long.
I'm not talking about doing fantasy NASCAR. That's not even a thing I knew existed. I'm talking about becoming a fucking couch fan /
Well, my point is you can't become a couch fan unless you're like actually have a reason to watch.
I need to clarify something. It wasn't Brad Keselowski that I hate. I don't even know who Brad Keselowski is. Kyle Busch.
How the hell do you mix those names up?
Dude, look at this guy's face, and you will not hate anybody more.
I know what he looks like. He's one of the most famous drivers. He's like one of the few that I would know.
God, this little rat face fucker. I hate
this guy.
This is
the guy that's like, why would I know that 3 minutes ago?
Kyle.
He drives the M&M car. Fuck you, Kyle Busch.
M&M.
Run up, Kyle Busch.
Also, big fan of sponsorships in NASCAR. Like, what?
Yeah, it's a.
What is this? Does this work? Is this an effective method of advertising?
Kyle Busch 100% had some kind of connection or money to get him to where he is.
Didn't Mark Martin?
He didn't earn his way.
Well, his brother was got into the sport first.
That's Kurt, an all-time douchebag name.
He rode his
Kyle
brother's coattail.
You know that dude
fuck
sucks.
You remember
Mark Martin driving the Viagra car?
Respect, man.
No, that's tight, though.
Respect.
Is there still a Viagra car?
I don't think so, but
they just put the oldest guy on the circuit in the Viagra car.
Hell yes.
We have one hotline call left.
Okay, fine.
I'm going to get trashed for my take on NASCAR.
Hey, this is for the Backdoor Cover podcast. Just got a quick question for you guys. I'm moving to New York City. I'm coming from Arkansas.
Humble brag.
We don't have any professional sports teams down here, and I was just wondering if how I go about adopting a couple of professional sports teams. If I don't really want to become a Yankees fan because I feel like a fucking fraud. But, just give me your thoughts on how to become a fan of a new sports team coming from somewhere else. Thanks.
I'm going to start. All right. First, no, you cannot become a Yankees fan. That's simple. We don't have to go into an explanation there.
You don't want to be a Mets fan.
You just can't.
I don't know.
However, you got to go all in on the Knicks right now. Right now.
Buy low.
Right now. Because this is when you're allowed to transition in as a fan. If the team is at the bottom of the barrel, shit is an absolute disaster. You're being run by Phil Jackson. You're considering trading away your franchise player for God knows what reason. That's when you're allowed to slide in.
I have a little different take. I think generally speaking, it is very acceptable to adopt a team if you move to their city.
Okay.
Now, moving to New York, they have two Major League Baseball teams, for example. Well, one of them is not in the city.
Different.
I know.
It's different if you're moving to New York, though.
If you're moving to Manhattan, you absolutely can latch on to the Yankees. Absolutely.
Sure, it's socially acceptable, but as a man, I don't respect you.
If that's your new residence and you can go to the games there in person,
good for you, I guess.
You are absolutely
must be
allowed.
Nice.
It's acceptable
must be nice.
To adopt that team.
And guess what? The Yankees are starting to be good again.
Yeah, they got that giant guy.
Judge.
He's like 8'2".
That guy is awesome.
It's basically like, you remember the story of Goliath from the Bible? That's
sure.
who. That's
No, it's more like Paul Bunyan just grabbing a
sure.
tree and just using that as a bat.
Yeah, he's a Yankee.
I think the guy's still leading the bigs in home runs.
I think a triple crown winner right now.
Yeah, he's batting like
340 or something.
Look, most of the time, I would say that if you're from an area that he's from Arkansas, didn't have any professional sports teams.
That's another thing that works for
him. If you move to a new city, like let's say he moved to Memphis, be totally acceptable to become a Grizzlies fan.
Of course.
But because it's New York, I think it's a little different. You can't just move to New York and become a Yankees fan.
He's not moving to New York to become a Yankees fan.
No. I know that. I know that's not only his purpose. Reason. But I'm saying it still doesn't strike me as okay. New York has like 50 million people in it, man. What, all of them are allowed to be Yankees fans?
Of course.
It's one of the biggest bandwagon teams in the world.
Become a Bills fan.
It just
not too far. I don't think it is.
The Yankees?
I don't think it is.
Dude, I think it has to be.
They have some pretty loyal, hardcore fans.
I'm sure they do, but they also have a fuckload of bandwagoners. Like, you root for the Yankees if you just don't know what else to do with your life. Whereas the Knicks are trash and their fans are miserable. You can't join a team that makes you happy. You have to join a team that makes you shittier.
If you share a city with them, you can.
So tell him to be.
Look, you can do whatever you want.
So by your theory, he wants to be a Mets, Jets, Knicks fan.
I don't know if you want to even be a part of the Jets thing, even if it's counterintuitive to everything I just said. That's like volunteering for. I can't even say out loud the comparison I wanted to make. It's too offensive, but you can't. No, I couldn't do it. I couldn't become a Jets guy. It'd be so miserable. Yeah. Team is so fucking bad.
You bring up a good point of him being from Arkansas, a state that doesn't have.
Yeah.
If
you don't have any teams, man, you're free to pick and choose. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The Yankees.
If you're moving from St. Louis to New York, for example,
then you don't get to pick shit.
You can't switch from the Cardinals to the Yankees.
Does he go?
No, you stick with your teams that you were born with. Those are yours forever, no matter what. Even if you change as a fan and decide to root for another team, we all know.
So
everybody knows.
He goes Knicks or Brooklyn Nets, who are maybe even lower than
the
Knicks.
I'd suggest maybe if you want tickets, go with the Nets because tickets are super cheap.
Just go all
no
in
one
on
goes
Brooklyn.
To those games. And just go watch the other teams play.
Become a Brooklyn Islander fan?
Yeah, but then you're owned by a Russian, the Nets. What's his name? Petrov? No, Petrov is the...
Prokhorov.
Petrov is the fake Putin in House of Cards for TV people.
Still watch that?
Yeah, it's not very good.
No.
I'm still watching it, though.
You're too far in. You're too deep.
All right, but in all seriousness, the way to adopt a team is to go all in on the basement. And then their fans, their lifelong fans, such as like me being a lifelong Preds fan, it's easy for me to explain this to another person. They will respect you more if you get in when they're low.
That's how I feel with the Longhorns. Hook them.
Fuck.
I don't really like the Longhorns.
That's a good way to end the segment. All right, let's wrap it up. Oh, but our hotline number is 800-392-6344 if you want to call and be a part of the magic. Do we have any shouts?
Shouts to the Knights, Golden Knights. Thank you for taking our cross to bear.
Shouts to Magic Johnson, who's just being... What I love about this whole Magic Johnson getting tons of praise right now is how awesome it's going to be when he blows it because he's a fucking moron. There is no way you can be as bad at Twitter as he is and then manage an NBA team. It is not possible.
It's going to be so great when they get the first overall pick next year, goes to the Sixers, and then Sacramento gets the first overall pick, and we get to keep that pick, and then...
Are the Sixers setting some kind of record for first-round draft picks here? They have to be, right? Like, in consecutive years?
It's two straight first-round picks. I don't hate it.
Shouts to Patrick Beverley. God, I hate to see you go, but if you have to, you'll always be in my heart.
Welcome, Markel. It's a new era for the Sixers.
Check out rowdygentleman.com and use the code BACKDOOR for an additional 10% off your order. Follow us on Twitter at BackdoorCover. Follow Dylan at DShiver. Follow Dan at Dan_Jester. And follow me at WRBolin. That's all. That's it. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.